June 25th, 1991. John McDaniel interviewed by Kay Briegel at his home in Signal Hill.
Where were you born?
Montrose, Colorado.
And what did your family do in Montrose, Colorado?
As little as they could. They left. They left fast. No, my father was a blacksmith.
In
the mines? I don't know whether it was in mines or what, because I was little at the time. And we left there when I was three.
And what, do you know why they decided to leave?
Too cold. And that was during the year of that flu epidemic and everything that was there.
1918?
Yeah.
And so they decided to come to California?
And we came on out.
And do you know, where did you come to first?
Long Beach.
Do you know why they chose Long Beach?
I haven't the slightest idea. I do not know. They never mentioned it. They said, thank the Lord, that was all.
And where did you live in Long Beach? For the first year you remember, at least.
You got 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Okay.
Well, for our first place was at Venetian Square. It was called Seaside Cottages then.
Oh.
That was back around in the early 20s. Called Seaside Cottages. And then 5th in Maine and 6th in Newport. And a 3,200 block on Colorado. Then we moved to Signal Hill. We got 22, well, the next block. 2250 Lewis. And then we lived around Sunrise, right around the corner in 1927. Have you been that way? Right around that corner, past those apartments, is a little small house, and it's still there. My father used to shoot rats in the cesspool through the window to scare the devil out of my mother.
Did your dad work as a blacksmith in Long Beach?
No, a welder. He worked as a welder. He worked for Ruth Gredger. He used to work mostly at the Cattleman Hills and all the oil fields. We didn't see him too often. And he was at, in the desert. I can't think of the name of that place up in the desert. They're all dead now, though.
Do you know why they moved to Signal Hill instead of staying in Long Beach?
Well, I suppose they liked it better up here. But see, Signal Hill wasn't incorporated, though, until in the 20s. And from everything I can hear, they just liked it better. And then, when in 1932, Mom and Dad started that on Walnut there, where McMillan Oil is, right across the street, that great big long building. They started a relief station in there to help the poor people.
Okay, let's go back a little bit.
All right, all of
them. What did you do on Signal Hill? Was it a fun place to live and play?
Oh, mostly you were on the, you know, like kids are, going around and playing in the oil fields and on the rigs and stuff like that. But a lot, we walk right down those tracks and go to the lagoon. Me, my two brothers, and my sister, every morning down to the lagoon and stay all day long and walk back up at night.
You never rode on the PE?
Oh, sure, all the time. There was a stop right out here. They had the big PE went all the way down to Newport Balboa from here. But the smaller ones started at Willow, came right straight down here to Anaheim and Redondo, then went south to 7th Street. One went into Pine, and the other one went down to Broadway and then into Pine. 5 cents.
And was the steam train running then?
I get pictures of them over on the wall. One of the steam trains came right down California, right on out of town. Vivian Laird's, I think, one of the stations where Vivian Laird's was. It's the it's a cafeteria down there now on Alamitas. And it used to be a station, the UP.
So you were a kid and you played around, but where did your mother go to shop?
Well, we had a store right here, right there on between California and Lewis, on the north side of the street.
On Burnett?
On Burnett. There was a store there, and we shopped there. Easy walking distance. Nice prices, too. You start to think about the prices today.
Did your family go to church?
Very seldom. It's like me. I'm agnostic, but I have a pair of praying hands over there, and I have insurance written on the front of it.
Okay. Where did you start school?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the grammar school. Can't think of the name of that to save my neck. Third and, I started in junior high school at Jefferson and left there and went to Military Academy.
Okay, but did you go all the way through in that grammar school, or did you go to others?
Oh, just one. It's between Colorado and 3rd Street.
Okay.
And Newport. No, the other way.
Okay. Anyway,
Gardena.
Near Jefferson.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Oh, no, not quite near to it. About 8 blocks.
So, and then you graduated and you went to Jefferson.
And we just stayed there for a short time because I wasn't getting along in school. I didn't like to take orders or anything. Fine thing, I ended up in the Army. So Mom just put me in the Military Academy. How she ever paid for that, I don't know.
Why do you think you weren't getting along? Did you get along in grammar school okay?
Yeah.
It wasn't
the idea of not getting along with teachers or anything. I just wouldn't go to school. I'd take off. You know, be hooking. And my mother said, you're never going to do nothing doing that. We'll put you where somebody will keep an eye on you. And they did.
How did they get you to come every day? Or did you live there?
I lived there. That's one of the best ways you can do it.
And
that's a good school.
How was it? Describe how it was different from public school.
Discipline. Right off the bat. And a good discipline. And teach you manners. Especially eating manners. Do this in a mess hall, and the guy hits you with a knife right on the elbow, the edge of the knife. And for the, and another thing, they taught me to eat with my left hand in the European manner. Because the man told us right off the bat, it's a stupid thing to cut your meat and then start switching hands. Don't do it. And it got awkward for a while. Tear up your bread in 4 pieces. I still do it today. And I've had people say, what are you doing? Put one hand in my lap when I'm eating. I don't know why, but it's a habit. You should have seen in the Army in a mess hall. We've got these guys eating with both hands and shoveling in, and I'm sitting there with one hand in my lap, and a guy was looking at me with jaundiced eyes. What the devil are you doing? I said, I'm eating. Gently. I'll never forget that.
So, but describe how else it was different. You had to live there?
Yeah.
Did you have to stay there 7 days a week? Or
7 days a week, unless you, you had days off if your folks had come. Folks would have to put in advance when you would go. And it was easy for me because later on my folks had the relief station right across the street where that church is at 21st and Cherry. And they had the bakery there too. And I had no trouble. I used to stay there 7 days a week. Once in a while I had to get caught smoking under one of those barracks and then they had me walking around that flagpole.
Well, what was the idea of walking around the flagpole?
Discipline. And not supposed to smoke. Cause
but that was your punishment?
Yeah, it's a punishment.
And did you have to wear a uniform?
Yes. That's one of the uniforms. And I loved wearing a uniform back in the Philadelphia. Put you apart. We got our uniforms at Desmond's. Oh, that was nice.
And you got to wear it outside of the school?
Yeah, we could wear any, to take a girl for a date or anything else, you could wear your uniform. It was really something. Because back in those days, if you got outside of a school like that, most people, anybody that I knew, were very poor. And here you are strutting along in a nice, clean uniform. Just like you had money. And we didn't.
But otherwise, it was like school. You had regular classes.
Oh, you better believe it. I had small classes and exceptional teachers. They were right with you all the time. Never left. And if you goofed, you got it.
Were they military people or regular teachers?
Yes, one of our men, the captain of the troops, he was a captain in the National Guard at the time, I later met him in 1945 when we were going to China, and he was a bird colonel.
Which means?
A full colonel. And I presume that 1945, I presume he was a general before he retired. He was a tough monkey.
What did it mean to be captain of the troops?
He was in charge of all the troops training outside of the classroom. And it came to quite a bit of a job, I guess.
What kind of training did you have outside of the
classroom? Close order drill. Well, we taught the exact same things outside the classroom that you're taught in the regular army. The manual of arms, close order drill, discipline, the whole bit.
So you had a gun?
Oh, yeah. Had an old 1903 old action rifles. Just what the army had then. And we taught the manual of arms and everything else, squads right, squads left. And it sure helped when I got in the army.
And was there other physical training other than marching?
Every single day. And we had a swimming pool too. Every single day you had an hour of physical training, push-ups, jump, side straddle hops, running, and then down to the pool and do 15 to 20 laps, and out. Take a shower, get dressed, and go back to work again.
And were there any sports in addition to that?
And horses, too.
Oh, really?
Yep. Had about 11 horses down to me, horseback riding. And back in those days, there wasn't very few cars floating around, so you could ride around on the sides of the road and stuff like that. I never did care for them nags.
Describe what the campus looked like. How could you describe under the barracks?
Well, it's just like under this house. There was a crawl space under there.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit deep. Both about that deep, I guess. See, there was the main barracks was actually a barracks. It was a private rooms. I don't know how to explain this. There were three of them, for people to sleep in. And the one they called Beecham was the main one, right in front of the flagpole. And I used to go down to the one down at the end there and crawl underneath it, have me a smoke. And that cat in Colorado could smell that smoke clear out on Cherry Avenue. 2 miles away, it seemed to me. Howdy-do! Come out of here.
So the buildings had names?
Yeah. Beecham. I can't think of the other two. Of course, that was 50-some-odd years
ago. Were they named for people that you knew about, or...?
Yeah, they were all named after, after great people. Great military people. Yeah, Mrs. Watkins knew a bunch of those old people.
Who was Mrs. Watkins?
Major and Mrs. Watkins owned and run the school. Mrs. Watkins actually was a boss, but the Major Watkins, he was the president of the school. And his son, Booth, was the guy who was the actual running of the daily works. They lived right there in the main house. Right there on the front, facing Cherry Avenue, with the two cannons in the front.
And did other people live there? I mean, did somebody, stay in the barracks with you?
Or? Oh, we had, no. We had a matron in each one of the barracks. But she had her own private room, and she didn't. And nobody would run around like they did in the army. You put clothes on when you got out of bed. And we had Filipino staff for the mess hall and everything. And our teachers lived off campus. They left in their own homes. Lived in their own homes. Better learn to breathe there.
So the staff was the major and his wife and his son, and then matrons who lived in the
right.
In the barracks.
And teachers.
The teachers live on campus also?
No, the teachers lived off campus. And Captain Clarence lived off campus.
And he was the second in command or the third in command?
He commanded about the whole school with the exception of the, if I can get this straight now. He was in command of everything except the teaching part.
Except the academic.
Yeah.
And were there other unusual things?
You work at Long Beach State, don't you?
What?
You work at Long Beach State?
Yes.
I knew it. Start correcting my English.
No, the reason
I knew it because Bedelia told me.
Okay. Were there other things that were unusual, like horses or a swimming pool?
You know something about that swimming pool? Back in those days, we didn't have all the filters and everything for water.
Yeah.
And we had so much sulfur in our water that you couldn't see an inch under the top of the water. And the Claire's told me one day when I first came here, he said, "Okay, Mac, dive in the water." I said, "Not me." You couldn't see nothing about that far underneath. It was black.
And what other things did you do for amusement besides go to the lagoon, follow the railroad?
Oh.
When they weren't disciplining you and making you walk around the place?
But that didn't happen too often. Oh, this is one of the most, you know, Long Beach has always been the most beautiful place in the world. It didn't cost us any money. We could go to the beach, the pike. You could stay all day long on that pike for a dollar. A hamburger cost you 10 cents. On one of the rides down there, 10 cents. To get in, down and back on a bus, a nickel each way. Or you could walk. And it was safe to walk anywhere in this town, anytime, day or night. And there's just hundreds of places to go and see. And look at all them theaters I got on the wall over there. And the theaters cost 10 cents and 15 cents. It was a kid's paradise. And look at it now.
Was there a theater that you liked better than others?
Well, we had, oh yeah, the West Coast. West Coast load seats, when you sit down into them, they kind of get a little swing to them like this. Oh, you know, pig heaven. But they were all nice theaters. The State, the Strand, and they all had vaudeville then. Of course, we had no TV then, so everybody went to a theater.
So you liked going to the downtown theaters? You didn't go to, like, the theaters in the neighborhood?
I went to the, we used to have another theater right here at the Brayton. Mm-hmm. Right over here on Hill and Atlantic. Three in Anaheim. The Ritz at 7th and Redondo. The Belmont and Belmont Shore. The Lee at 4th and Cherry. The Evel at 3rd and Cerritos. They're easy to get to. You could walk to practically any place. You could walk to a theater, you didn't have to have a car. It was good, because we didn't have one.
And how did you said your dad was a welder, but how did he go from doing that to the relief station?
That was my stepfather.
Okay.
My real father died in 1938.
Okay.
And my mother and him got divorced in the late 20s.
So you lived with your mother, I assume?
We lived, when the earthquake hit in 1933, we lived at 14th and Obispo, where Marie Callender's Pies is right now. Well, that whole lot then didn't belong to us. We rented a little tiny house there. It had a little tiny bathroom in it, just a toilet and no bath. Now, you've heard of the big tubs for Saturday night baths? That was us. And one bedroom. And the bed bugs.
And what happened during the earthquake?
Well, during the earthquake, 14th and Obispo. Oh, we ended up on top of Signal Hill. But after that was all over, we had a great big pot out there. My mother had made coffee, great big pots of it, because the Navy came ashore and the shore patrol patrolled the streets and everything. So.
What were you doing at the time of the earthquake?
We had an old Willis Knight, and we had a ramshackle garage, and we had that Willis Knight in the garage up on blocks, and I was underneath it taking the pan off. And you have never seen anything move so fast in your life. I cannot come out of that screaming and yelling and hollering, and my sister is in a little tiny kitchen, and she is sitting in there pushing the dishes back. And my father's sitting there, "Hold it, B." So my mother's name was B. And he had his, "Hold it." I never could figure out why he was saying, "Hold it." That was funny. And then that ding-a-ling gets on a radio, and he says, "There's a tidal wave coming."
Which ding-a-ling?
So I don't know. Something. It was a San Diego station. And he said, "There's a tidal wave coming." Everybody in the country heard it. And everybody's up on top of the hill.
How much damage was done to the house you lived in?
Oh, we lived in a little frame house. This house here was the earthquake. Just a little frame house. All it did was going back and forth a little bit. But right across the street at 14th and Obispo, there was a two-story brick men's shelter. It was a great long warehouse. That thing came straight down and killed 14 men in there.
What about some of the stuff in the house, though? Was it thrown on the floor?
Oh, dishes, stuff like that. But we, our house was so small. My mother used to say, I can sweep the front room and do the dishes at the same time.
So when you heard about the tidal wave, you decided to leave?
No, my mother and father decided to leave. Okay. We had an old Star truck that had a pickup bed on it, about as big as from here to there to there. We got all four kids on the top of that thing, and mom and dad in the front, and chuggity, chuggity, chuggity up the top of that hill. And back in those days, it wasn't as easy to get to the top of that hill.
And were there a lot of other people there?
About 9 million, I think, standing on each other's shoulders. No tidal wave.
But you spent the night up there?
Yeah.
Waiting for the tidal wave.
Yeah. And everybody was talking. We had all kinds of friends out there. Never seen the people before. People from Huntington Beach were crying out loud. I did. We had a kid there from Huntington Beach. I said, what are you doing way up here? He said, the tidal wave coming. I said, well, did you have someplace else to go? He said, the only hill I can think of. They had all kinds of hills over there.
And so you went back the next day?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Right on back. Nothing going on. Except them poor guys over there got killed. But David, this town was pretty bad shape. Every school in town was torn down. And they put up bungalows, like Quonset Hunt, but with bungalows. I went to school in that for about close to a year before they get the buildings rebuilt.
And did you continue to live at 14th
Obispo? No, we moved there for a short time after that.
Where did you move to?
6th and Newport. That was about... I got a strange feeling that my folks kept moving every time the rent come due.
Maybe they do.
It's a very good possibility.
How did your mother meet her next husband?
I don't know where she met Vern. He finally, before he died, he ended up working out at the Long Beach Airport. He ran the Aquay system. That's a refueling system for airplanes. There was the Army bases out there then. They run that station. He was a boxer in his early life. Little short man. Built like Mike Tyson.
What was his name?
Vern Nichols.
And after your mother divorced your father, did she work?
With him. They had a full-time job. The woman I was trying to think of her name was down there. It was also the mayor of Signal Hill. It was Gertrude Beebe. And she used to, I don't know whether she actually worked in that thing, but she was there every day.
Okay. When your mother and father were together, did your mother work?
No.
And after she divorced your father, did she work?
No. But of course, she got married to Vern pretty early in that day.
And then they started the shelter?
Well, they might have been living together. I don't know. They don't tell me these things.
Right. And you were young.
Yeah. No, I didn't much care. Give me some food.
So how did they come to start a shelter?
Everybody was poor. And this WPA was coming out there in 32, I think it was. And Vern heard about it, and he figured, well, the devil, maybe I can do something. And he went and seen somebody. I was too young to know about it then, but the first thing you know, he opens up that place there across from McMillan's. And they stayed there until, I guess it was 34 or 35. And then they moved over to right across the street from the Military Academy. And, well, 34, I guess, was the book. That's when I went to, when I graduated from ninth grade. And then they started baking bread and delivered to the CC camps. And when I got out of school in the summertime, I delivered it.
What did they do when they were across the street from McMillan?
They collected this food and stuff and clothing from all over the country. They brought it there, and then they'd give it out to poor people.
And they did the same thing across the street from the Military Academy, but they baked also.
But mostly it was baking bread then. and some foodstuffs. It was mostly breaking bread and taking it to the CC camps.
Where were the CC camps around here?
All over. Nothing down here, but all up in the valley and in the desert. I had to deliver bread. I started at 12 o'clock at night, and I wasn't very old, and just old enough to get a driver's license, 16 to 17. And I'd go all the way up into to the valley and deliver to three camps there, and then the next night out to the desert. And a couple up in up close to Big Bear. That was fun, though, till I blew her out in the desert. That made my old man... You ever think of putting oil in?
Were you... You weren't living on Signal Hill at the time of the Richfield explosion.
Yeah.
You were. Tell me about that.
Well, being the smart person that I hope I am, we heard this explosion, and I had my my TV was turned on to Channel 11. And you could see this smoke going up. Now, one thing I learned a long time ago, don't go to a fire. You're gonna stop all the emergency vehicles from getting in there. And sure enough, right on Channel 11, it shows us a whole smear. They got the crews down there and everything, see everything that was going on. And also, just like Isaac Seth was saying, and people were going in droves, going up there, and the fire department was blocked from getting in, emergency vehicles. It was a messy fire, too. And then there was, we kept hearing that there was a couple of butane tanks up there that might explode. A little sweating those out.
So your dad and mom continued operating the shelter through the Depression? And... When did you graduate?
Well, I graduated from ninth grade in 1934, but I stayed there two more years.
Oh, you went?
I went to 10th grade there.
Okay.
Then I got my GED college level.
Yeah.
In Japan.
So you didn't go to high school after that?
Well, back in those days, 10th and 11th grade was high school. Well, it's high school now, too.
Yeah.
I can't get used to this middle school they call now, junior high school.
Right. So you just went to junior high school, basically, at the military academy.
Well, I was at 10th grade, and then one semester up, 11th. And then I quit and I keep saying re-enlist. I've done it so many times. I enlisted. And that beautiful training that I got from the military got me right to... I was a sergeant before I could draw money on it. Because the first 3 months you was in the Army, you only got $21 a month. And at the end of that... Then you could jump to 36 if you was a PFC or up to a sergeant. And I made sergeant within about, 3 months after I was, about a month and a half after I was in there. Because I already knew what to do. I knew my general orders, my close order drill, manual of arms, everything. And here I am a sergeant and I can't even get paid for it. Well, I did.
Where did you go for your training?
Fort Benning, Georgia.
So, do you know what happened to the bakery and the operation that your mom and dad were running?
Well, times started getting a heck of a lot better, there than 38, 39, 40. So my dad went out to the Air Force out there and got himself a job with that Aqua system and making a lot more money than he was making down there.
Right.
He used to get me a lot of rides out there when I was in the Army, though. He knew a lot of people.
So did the bakery close down?
Yeah, the bakery closed down. There was no need for it anymore.
And what did your mom do? Did she find another job?
She was a nurse. She was a nurse for almost 30 years. St. Mary's and the community and private practice.
Did she have training?
Yeah, well, she wasn't an RN. She was a practical nurse. And a good one, I guess, because she was always working.
And so, did she learn on the job, or had she worked as a nurse before?
Taking care of this motley family. You know, when everybody got sick in our house, we always called Grandma. Now, Grandma lived in this house here, and later years, she was in a wheelchair. And we still have, in my room in there, I still have notches in the sides of the doorway where she'd come in out, and her hubs would hit the door. Kept going back and forth and back and forth, and pretty soon it got that deep on either side because she wasn't a very good driver.
Did she come to Long Beach with the rest of your family from Colorado?
Old cotton-picking bunch came. Aunts, uncles, everybody.